You know, our theme passage for this series is in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. All of my life, in every season, I have a reason. There are some among us right now whose season of life has dramatically changed. Yesterday, Wanda DeYoung was taken to hospice care. Wanda and Odie have been part of our congregation for years. This morning, Jody Baker's mom passed away. No longer suffering, but still a loss. You saw Patty Wanroy leading the bell choir. That's the first time she's ever done it. She didn't even know she had to do it till yesterday because Friday, Carol Linger was in a car accident. Though not any injuries fatal or more serious, but still in hospital struggling with pain. In every season, on all occasion, pray for all the saints. Father God, we believe that, so we come to you. I've just mentioned the names that I know of, but I'm absolutely certain that there are many more names that I don't know sitting right here listening. And I pray for them too. Pray for Odie and for Wanda. We can say that death is the final stage of growth, but it is also often the most painful. And I pray for them. I pray for Odie's heart. I pray for Wanda. Thank you for her faithfulness, for her testimony, for continued resolve that knowing someday and someday soon she will see your son. Pray for Jody and the family. Pray for Carol. Decisions about surgery, decisions about her future. Father, we know that there are so many more. And we ask for your Holy Spirit of guidance and comfort and peace. Teach us, help us to listen, to hear you. We thank you that you hear us. We ask all of this in Christ's most holy and precious name we pray. Amen. Does this sound familiar to anyone? Now, if you're under the age of 25 or 30, you probably never heard that because you have phones in your pocket that either vibrate or make massive sounds when it's time for dinner. But those of us a little bit slightly older, remember, right around 5:30, 5:45 or whatever, my mom would stand outside the dorm because I'm the oldest of seven. She just figured it would have to go on for a long time, at least 7 minutes. And wherever we were at in the neighborhood, we heard that bell. We knew it was time to come. We usually knew it was dinner. We knew that there was consequences if we ignored the dinner bell. And I'll be honest, there were times where I made a conscious decision. If I'm out playing 500 up or if I'm playing tackle football or if I'm doing something else that I thought was more important, I made a conscious decision to not come home when I heard the bell. That conscious decision bore a number of consequences. None the least was you didn't get to eat, so hunger. But I want you to think about spiritual hunger. Spiritual hunger is its own pain when we're not willing to listen to that bell of the Holy Spirit. Spiritual hunger is its own pain when we're not willing and when we choose to say other things are more important, other things take priority. We're in the midst of a series called Fuel on Prayer, if you're just joining us this morning. And we have said that prayer opens up a channel of communication. We said that prayer is not to give God information, but prayer is to receive information. It's not for some massive eye-opening experience into the future. Prayer is not something that we are praying for God's will to show us something way ahead in our life. I love what Francis Chan says, and we've seen this quote before. When Francis Chan talks about, I think a lot of us need to forget about God's will for my life. You remember seeing this quote before? Some of you made comments about this. He goes on, he says, God cares more about our response to his Spirit leading today, in this moment, than what we intend to do next year. It's much less demanding to think about God's will for your future than it is to ask him what he wants you to do in the next 10 minutes. That's what this focus of series on. I love that. Listening to God through prayer begins with understanding the next 10 minutes. We need advice from God. We need guidance from God because we've all got issues. Can we agree with that? We've all got issues that need resolution. We all have issues that need direction, that need God's peace, that need contentment, and we have pain. And yes, we need pain. But in the long run and in the future, we need to think about the right now. The reality of prayer and in season, to be alert, to pray for all the saints, because we know we've got problems. You know, we're an interactive church, aren't we? We really have genuine community, right? Here, let's do something right now. I want you to turn to someone sitting next to you. I know some of you really hate this. I know you do. I can see it. That's why I took my glasses off this morning, because I don't want to see the barbs in your eyes. But I want you to turn to somebody next to you, and here's what I want you to say. Look at you. You have problems. Seriously, I'm serious. Turn to that person and tell them that. Wow, you know, some of you are enjoying this a little bit too much. And I saw a few of you, glasses or no, that were looking up to me and saying, you have problems. I got that. You know, it occurred to me watching you that unless you're sitting on an aisle, that person chose you. They turned to you instead of someone on the other side. So maybe that's a conversation we're talking about on the way home. But we all have issues. We all have decisions. We all have trouble. And, it may not be yours, but you know someone who does. And trust me, if you don't know anybody in your life that has trouble, come and see me. I'll give you plenty of names. Life is trouble. Jesus said, in this life, you will have trouble. But take heart. I have overcome the world in John 16:33. We need guidance from God. Prayer initiates and creates that connection to open our hearts. Now, it occurred to me in the sequence of prayer, it might be a good opportunity at this time to explore the question, how do I actually hear God? I mean, how do I actually know? And I think we want to see this a little bit different and clearer this morning. Your prayer life, because of it, might become more infused with energy and focus and understanding. Because how many times have you prayed and then said, I'm still not getting the answer. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I've been praying about this. I've been begging God for this, and I'm not getting the answer. Oh, and here's one that most of us can relate to. I think I heard something. Was that the voice of God, or was that my voice that I think was God, or was that God's voice that I think was mine, or was that Satan's voice, and I'm just not really sure what God's voice is, and I'm really confused. Someone once told me that I'm tired of being patient. Can we relate? Yeah, we can. I'm tired of being patient. And I appreciate that honesty because, really, that's the best way to pray. Be brutally honest. We know what it feels like to have communication breakdowns with God. We have them with people all the time, don't we? We have them with people all the time. And in that communication breakdown, we understand the reality and the struggle of what it means and how it relates to us and what the sign is and what it looks like and the communication breakdown and the barriers that are in front of us. Do you mind? Check this out. Do you mind if I strap your phone to my forehead so I can pretend you're looking at me when I talk? Now, honestly, I have no idea. I guarantee I know who drew that cartoon. It was not a guy. So I'm not sure what the gender switch was there, but there's truth in that kind of communication breakdown, isn't there? So let me ask you this. Have you ever asked anybody, what would you do if you had to make a really serious decision? Have you ever asked somebody that? Have you ever gone to somebody else, hopefully somebody wiser, not one of your goofy friends, somebody wiser, somebody that you look at and you say, that's who I want to be like. See, those are the people you ask these kinds of questions to. Not a friend who doesn't really know, but you hope they know because you like them. No, you ask somebody, what would you do if you had to make a decision of something really, really important? What would you do? So this morning, if we want to ask ourselves, how do we hear God? We want to look at a few practical things that you probably have heard before. And let's put them in a sequence of understanding. And then at the end, we're going to flip them. And when we flip them, we're going to come up with something that hopefully puts it in perspective. That takes us beyond just the sequence of practicality and puts it all in a focus that allows us to see, okay, if I want to listen to God, this is the primary means of how to do so. So where do we start? Well, we start in the book of James, chapter 1, verse 5. In the book of James, chapter 1, verse 5. It's very simple. You want to hear God? This is our whole series. We pray. We pray. James chapter 5. Or James chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives graciously, generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. Later on, but when he asks, he must believe and not doubt. Believe what? The believe what is going up to verse 2, the testing of your faith. Consider it pure joy whenever you face trials of many kinds. That's believe what? Believe that when you face trials of any kind, don't try to get out of it, but you come to God and you ask for wisdom. That's believe what? That God will give that to you when you face those trials and when you face those situations. So in the back of your bulletin on the notes page, that's our first point. Our first point in looking at this idea of hearing God, of looking through and understanding that, is the ability to put off old ways of doing things. We put off old ways of doing things, old ways of facing those trials and those circumstances, and turn to choices that God seeks in his righteousness. We put off old ways of doing things, and we turn to choices God seeks in his righteousness. That's the first thing. Now, I owe a lot of this to a book we've been using in freshman theology that's written by Dr. Henry Cloud and John Townsend, How People Grow. And in this particular book, they point out that for religion and for religious people, the religious thing to do is to tell people to do the right thing because it's the right thing. And they go on and they say that most people do not want to do the right thing precisely because they're being told to do the right thing. And religion and Christianity gets in confused that you need to do this because it's the right thing. And they point out that being right is not a very strong motivation. That's not how our culture is. We want to do things our own way. We want to do things the way I want to do things. And sometimes we do them whether we like them or not. Paul, Romans 7, the things I want to do, I don't do. The things I don't want to do, I end up doing. Oh, wretched man that I am. Why is this conflict in me? So the idea, the first thing is we want to hear God. The first thing is you need to put off the old ways of living and you need to ask yourself, what are the choices that God wants me to have? What are the realistic concepts and images and ideas? It's not just do's or don'ts. It's put off to put on. Prayer daily connects us to this real reason that we seek to do it God's way. And this is the way. We put it on because we might live. It's as simple as that. We don't do things because it's the right way. We do things because it's the only way to live. It's the only truth that we have facing ourselves in how we deal with things. The passage in Romans chapter 8, you don't have to turn there. I'll put it up on the screen for you. But the passage in Romans chapter 8, verse 13 to 14 says, "For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die." Now, that word death there is not physical. It is not spiritual. It's pragmatic. You will die. Your life will be made of no effect. You will have no impact. There will be zero energy. You will feel lethargic. You will feel complacent. You will feel empty. You will feel lost. You will feel that God is disconnected from you. That's what it means by you will die. There'll be a separation. And it goes on and says, if you by the Spirit, you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. It's no longer because we should do things. It's all because we want to live, and that's the only way to have real life and to have everlasting. In the book of Galatians, chapter 6, the book of Galatians, chapter 6, tells us much the same thing. And in that reality and in that truth of that, we find that the person, and this is out of the Message, the person who plants selfishness, we just sang about reaping what you sow, the person who plants selfishness, ignoring God, harvests a crop of weeds. Now, I think sometimes in our theological framework, and keep that verse up there, when we think about you will reap what you sow, we often have that connected to big, deep sins. And because most of us are not necessarily engaged into what would be called the big, deep sins, we kind of gloss over that passage of Scripture. And we kind of look at that and say, well, that doesn't really relate to me because I'm not really doing big, dark, bad sin. But in truth, the verse has a relationship in every aspect of our life. If you plant selfishness, you're going to have a crop of weeds that choke your life out. All he'll have to show for life is weeds. How many of us live in weeds? You know the worst thing about weeds? You can't always tell they're weeds. I have to ask Vicky, is this a weed or is this a plant flower? Because I'm terrified of pulling out something that's worth a lot or a beautiful flower because I think it's a weed. Weeds are hard, they're very deceptive. Now, some of them are pretty obvious, but many times they're not. And the Bible tells us that the key to this, look, but the one who plants in response to God, letting God's Spirit do the growth work in him, he harvests a crop of real life, of eternal life. If we truly want to live, then we need to understand that in that first step of hearing God is putting off the old ways of life and begin to put on the righteousness of God. That's how we begin to hear God. Henry Cloud and the guys put it down in their book like this, when they identify several things, when they say that first of all, you see that honesty, not just a virtue, but honesty as a virtue in the relationship happens, it's the only way that you'll have intimacy. Honesty is the only way you'll have intimacy. Forgiveness of others is not a law, but it's a path to freedom and reconciliation. It's the truth of our life. Our culture doesn't recognize that. Prayer is the path of opening up, and it's the hard work of doing the one main thing, and that's listening to God. Now, the second point on your notes page is the relationship that we want to hear God, we need to seek to understand and gain insight and wisdom to what is best. Now, hopefully you're saying, wow, that's not too profound. I knew that. It's very practical. If we want to hear God, the first thing we do is we make a conscious decision to put off the old way of living and put on the new Spirit. And then as we do that, to put on the new Spirit, we have to gain wisdom and insight. We have to begin to understand, what is that new Spirit? How do I put that on? And that becomes an opportunity for wisdom and for growth. But culture today is so informationally driven that we deify technology, we deify information. And at times, it's really great when we can have information at our fingertips. We want this wisdom, we want this insight, and we want it now. We want to Google search God, and we want it to come up right now at the fingertips. Last week, a week ago, I had to put in an under-the-counter microwave. I'd never done that before. It's a pretty expensive piece of equipment. What did I do? Like every smart man that never admits to it, I YouTubed it. Seriously, I typed in how to put in an under-the-counter microwave. 40, 50 different videos came up. It was amazing. I just picked the one to the guy that looked like he knew what he was talking about. And I clicked it on for 3.5 minutes, saw it. He showed some little weirdo techniques. I did exactly what he said, and it worked out fine. And I stood back and I sent all kinds of pictures to everybody I knew. If I knew how to put it on a Facebook, I would have put pictures on Facebook. I did it, and it looks good. Why? Because that information is right there. You've done that. And yet, the concept, this kind of prayer, this kind of anguishing prayer to seek more to understand, it is not a 911 to a butler God. This is a spiritual battle. This is an anguishing prayer. This is a prayer because Satan hates prayer, and we invest into it, and we understand it because it's the reality of the struggle. And if we want to seek and to know wisdom, prayer begins to channel that communication. Nobody knew that better than David. In Psalm 63:1, there's a hymn's been written on this passage. Praise choruses. I'll read this and you'll start to hum it and it'll go through your mind. And David's talking about God. Oh God, you are my God. Are you singing it? Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. This prayer is so intense that it compares to my whole physical being. My whole physical body depends on this. Nothing else matters. This is what I'm scratching for. This is what I'm clawing for. God, I am not going to leave you alone till we figure this out together. It may start like a spiritual fast. It may end up being a physical fast where you may actually say, I am not going to eat. God and I, we're going to work this out. We're going to get into this, and we're going to go after this, and I am not leaving you alone. I need to hear you, and I need to find you, and I'm going to battle till I do. The truth of the matter is that oftentimes in that battle, we struggle. And that leads us to the third point. What's the third point? The third point, there is going to be trouble and pain. There's going to be trouble and pain. It is going to happen. What is the discipline? How am I going to submit and gain in order to overcome and grow? Proverbs 3:5-6, in all your ways, submit to him and he will make your paths straight. I know what many of you would say, I've done that. I've done that and I didn't get anything. I didn't get an answer to prayer. If I'm to submit to God and if I'm to submit to his rule, I've done that. And it's just not happening. And you know what? There's always that one Christian, isn't there, who comes into your life, and just when you're struggling with prayer, this one Christian comes in your life and says, wow, I just started to pray, and I didn't even get halfway through my prayer before God opened the floodgates of heaven, and he reached down his hand, and he opened up my brain like a roof in a house, and he stuck his hand in my heart, and he said, here's the answer. And I didn't even get done with my prayer. Isn't that awesome? And you're sitting over here thinking, why not me? That's not fair. How does that happen to that guy? How's God go into his life and give him what he asked, but he didn't do it to me? That's not fair. That's not right. You know those kinds of Christians. You've been begging God for answers. It just isn't there. Here's what I want to encourage you with. Stay with it. Stay with it. The answers are rarely what you think they are anyway. Stay with it. Persevere. So if I'm looking at this idea of submission is right living. I now make a decision that I'm going to live right and I'm going to submit myself to what God wants me to do. The truth of the matter in Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 to 4, this is the theme verse for the youth group. I think we shared it before. Hopefully you remember this. So if you're serious about living this resurrected life with Christ, act like it. Act like it. Look up and be alert to what is going on around Christ. That's where the action is. See things from His perspective. There's a question on your note page that I want you to look at. The question on your note page is this. It's the last question for you to go through. By the way, these questions that are here, these are for you to talk about with your family, talk about on the way home, talk about in your life groups, wherever you might be. But here's the last question. What are specific areas of your life that are not righteous? What are areas that you have to submit to? And what will that do to you in listening to God? What do I have to submit? Am I listening to God in my finances? Am I willing to submit my finances and look at my finances and say, can I step up just a little bit more to invest into the ministry of the local church? What about relationships? You're dating, single, married, whatever the relationship is, divorced, widow, widower, whatever that is, you ask yourself in that brokenness, do I submit in forgiveness? Do I submit my passions and my control? Do I say, okay, God, I don't get it, but here it is? Especially forgiving someone who doesn't deserve it. Fuel in prayer life is a willingness to ask for submission. God, I'm starting off my day. I'm coming to you. I got a lot of issues to deal with, Lord. Please help me out with this. Please help me out in this situation. Give me wisdom. Later in the day, I go to work. Spirit convict. John, are you going to forgive that person? What? Are you kidding me? The person doesn't deserve that. Do you know what they did to me? God, I'm really seeking your wisdom here. Can you give me that answer prayer? I'm coming to you in patience. Isn't that how we do it? God, please get, and then our behavior doesn't act accordingly. And then we wonder, why is there a disconnect? The truth of the matter is, we have this idea that all too often we ask God and we say, God, I'm waiting. God, I'm praying for you. I'm waiting for you, God. I'm waiting for you to give your answer. You know what happens? You know what I'm going to say, don't you? God says, no, John, you're not waiting for me. What? I'm waiting for you. I'm waiting for you. You want to get serious about hearing me? Invest in your prayer life. What do you know about my word in seeking wisdom and knowledge? What do you know about what I've given to you? What do you know about the Google search of Google Bible? How much do you know of that to find out? What about submitting to me? What about submitting and making those choices that are right choices, not because they're right choices, but because you want to live a right life? You want to live. What about that, John? Do you pray? Do you look at your word? Do you submit? Do you do those things? Because if you do those things, that's when you'll hear me. And we say, okay, God, I'll do those things. And God says, I can't wait to get involved, but you've got to do what I've asked you to do. I can't wait to start guiding you, John, but you have to be willing to let me. Fuel in prayer is, we think, is finding the answer, isn't it? Listening to God, we pray. We invest in His word. We ask ourselves, am I submitting to the rule of Christ, not just because it's the right thing to do, but because it's the only way to live? What kind of peace do I have? Remember, several weeks ago, we said that God answers prayer always with a yes. Not a yes to what we want, but a yes to what we need, His peace. Do you know His peace? God says, what's in your gut? What do you know in your peace? And these are all practical things, but everything comes down to the key. Here's the key. All these points, everything we brought together, all of this, we think and often miss the major point. It's because we don't understand the purpose. Why do we do all those things? Why do we pray? Why do we read the word? Why do we submit ourselves? Why do we make right choices? Because we don't get it. We're all too focused on the answer to prayer. I'm pursuing God, but he's not answering me. And in pursuing God and nothing happens, I begin to say, well, is this a waste of time? I've personally felt this before. Have you? It's a waste of time. I'm not seeing the answer. And here it is. If you don't get anything else today but this, get this. This might hopefully open up everything. I didn't make this up, but I just kind of put it together from several points that others have made. Follow this. Follow this in the reality. Let's go to, there we go. Check this out. Pursuing God for answers will change us in ways getting an answer never will. You want to hear God? Yeah, I'm working on my prayer life. I'm getting involved in what is the wisdom and insight. I'm submitting my will to his will. Do I have peace and contentment about that? Am I talking to people who are wiser and smarter than I am? Yes, all those things are practical things, but here's the bottom line. The truth of the matter is, and the reality of this is, pursuing God for answers will change us in ways getting an answer never will. And I love that quote. I don't pursue God to get more. I pursue God because there is more. What does that look like for you this morning? Question number one, what are you doing to gain in-depth insight into your life? Pursuing God. Think about it. We want an answer. We want to hear God speak, so I better pray. I better study. I better submit. I better get into the Word. I better talk to other people. I better go to church. I better go to second hour. I better listen to this. I better. And we get stuck and trapped into this when all along, the bottom line is, we don't need an answer. We don't need an answer. It's the process of doing those things that give to us the greater clarity of the voice of God. It will change us in ways that getting an answer never will. So what's the point? The point is it's not a waste of time in prayer if you never get an answer. If you never get an answer, it's not a waste of time. Because the point of all this is not getting the answer. The point of it is the pursuit. The pursuit is what gives you a greater chink and will change your lives. Nothing else matters but pursuing God. It's a perpetual answer that never changes. Because God says, I'll never leave you. Nothing can separate you from my love. Do you know this? Here's a radical thought. What if you pursued God not seeking an answer? What if you pursued God just to pursue God? Imagine the answers that would come flooding into your life because you're not engrossed in the answer, but you're seeking to know the way, the truth, and the life. Father God, thank you for privilege and worship. Thank you for the truth of your word. And Father, even as we join together in singing, the words of this song are so powerful in communicating to us the reality of the truth of what we've said. We know all the practical aspects of what we're supposed to do. We know that, God. But challenge us to get beyond seeking the answer and simply pursue you. And in pursuing you, show us the truth of life everlasting. Thank you for your love. Thank you for that gift. And we ask all of this in Christ's most holy and precious name we pray. Amen.